Good afternoon. Today is Monday, August 19th, 207th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the bank dude, Mr. Dolby.
And it is always a delight to see you.
Yeah, it'd be more delightful if the fires weren't burning, wouldn't it? I'm tired of this stuff. I guess talked to a couple of my buddies in Brookings, but also over in the Valley. And they're saying that it's really, you know, the impact economically. The economic impact of this thing is pretty significant. You've got the forest firefighters doing it, but a lot of people are avoiding.
Yes.
Medford, Grants Pass, and some of the issues in Gold Beach also because of this. So not good stuff, and I've seen things are going to let it burn out.
I just heard that today, and Medford's air quality at times is worse than Beijing.
Gee, I wonder if we know anybody who's going to be spending weekends there. Probably not. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the Humboldt Economic Index. Last Wednesday, we heard a little, over the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing information about the economy and this's and that's, and we'll talk a little bit about what the Humboldt County Economic Index is, and maybe get into some of the definitional, the working definitional phrases, too, as those, there seems to be a little power in that also. We'll talk about that as well when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dolby from Redwood Capital. But before we do, our quote of the day. Now, I've got the unknown one that you know of. However, behind door number two, we have a quote from Cicero.
Let's hear it.
Which one?
Door number two.
Door number two. From Cicero. Quote, "What an ugly beast is the ape, and how like us."
Oh.
Yeah.
Can they see us in that picture?
Yeah.
From that book there?
Oh, boy. John, let's, before we get into some of the numbers, because I know, you know, numbers get thrown around and everybody kind of either applauds if they're inclined or questions them if they're disinclined to believe them. But it seems to me that at times the American community, citizenry, knows economic terminology. And at other times, it goes whoosh and bye-bye, and we don't seem to grasp the basic stuff. So the front page of the Humboldt Economic Index has got employment as a reference in there. Okay. Let me read the quote. Humboldt County's unemployment rate increased from 8.1 to 8.8%. Okay. So face level, yeah, there's a 10% increase in unemployment. Got it. But what is unemployment? What is employment? What is a job? What is a permanent part-time versus permanent full-time? You know, these things seem to be interchangeable for a lot of folks, unless it's your employment status. What are they, and why don't we have that consistency?
A couple of things. One is when the economy started to tank, the jobs that were available, the mix changed. And we have been moving from a manufacturing, and I'm talking about the U.S. in general, from a manufacturing society to more service and informational, some technology. But we're moving away from basic manufacturing, and more of that is going offshore. So what we're seeing is a decline in the number of the jobs, or the mix of jobs that we're getting is substantially different, and they are not living wage positions. And we're also seeing a lot of part-time
definition,
positions.
Clarity. Living wage position. You live at one lifestyle level. I live at a different. Somebody else lives at a different. What is living wage?
Well, if you're looking for an absolute number, I couldn't tell you.
Or a reference the government uses or your functional definition of it.
But for me, you know, if it's less than, you know, $50,000 a year, and I'm talking about combined income, you know, at that point, you really can't buy a home. And, you know, it's more difficult, I should say.
So $25,000 a person?
Exactly.
$2,000 gross? $2,200 a month?
Yeah, we're not talking about big dollars to some degree, but a living wage job would be $50,000 where your spouse didn't have to work or something like that.
So it's more of a household income.
Correct,
level.
Right. And but that's my own definition. That's not the official definition. So what we've seen is the mix of jobs changing and what's being counted as jobs. Historically, you know, they haven't changed the definition, but we're seeing more of the things that we really don't want to see counted as jobs, meaning part-time jobs without benefits. People are being are underemployed and so forth. And so the, quote, unemployment number is really skewed when you try and look at it from, you know, the total economic picture. For instance, if unemployment is flat, it's probably declining, meaning that because the mix is changing. Well, and we have so many people that are discouraged and not even looking for jobs. So, you know, the denominator changes. And with all that said, your quote, unemployment numbers really don't mean much. So the number I usually look at is how many jobs were created in the U.S. last month.
But even that, when we hear the national figure, okay, 165,000, I think, is what we heard a couple weeks ago. Okay. But what is the treading water point? About 3.25 is what I have heard. That's the breaking.
Over 300 if we want to make any progress.
Okay. And of the 165,000 jobs, 77% were part-time jobs.
That is correct.
So when we hear job growth, immediately we think net growth full-time. I mean, that's the knee-jerk reaction for most of us. Instead of pulling that one level of the onion skin back and going, oh, well, this doesn't sound good, but it doesn't get covered, doesn't get played. I mean, the discussions around that still kind of focus on the big number being full-time and as a net growth rather than, well, we actually lost another 140,000 employed when we have 160,000 jobs.
It'd be interesting to see what the numbers would be if it was strictly full-time employed positions as opposed
to— Wouldn't
that
be the real benchmark to
use? That's correct. That would be correct.
Boy, I can't get any better than that. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14 through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The art pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The commercial exhibits building will feature fascinating products, and of course there's the Ferris wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that makes us a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. John, when we look at little backwater Humboldt County, or Pumpkin Creek, as Arnie Millsap used to call it, the number of full-time employed, I would think, would be pretty easy to handle. We could find that number out. We could see what it was historically. We could see what it was sector by sector. How does that reference, or do you have any idea throwing against that historic number where we are when we hear unemployment at 8.8?
Well, I get a really comprehensive report on employment in Humboldt County. And maybe at our next show, I'll bring a copy of that report And it's very, very interesting to see where the job growth is, in what sectors, which ones are not growing.
Surprises. I mean, just I said, okay, you told me about this report. Gee, what really gets your attention on this month in and month out?
You know, the number of government jobs is always surprising to me. And whether they're going up or down, I always find very interesting. And some of the sectors that are growing, of course, you know, generally are your tourism. Some of the financial companies are growing, but we're
banks. You guys, credit card guys.
What you're seeing is it's banks, credit card guys, but a lot of financial advisors. Insurance, yeah. You know, there's a lot of different things that fall into the financial.
Wealth management,
exactly.
Community.
Wealth management.
Okay.
So it's always really interesting, and what I'd like to bring that report back, and maybe we can have the gentleman from the county who does a great job of putting all this together. And I apologize, I don't recall his name, but he does a great job of putting together a lot of reports and some really good information.
Yeah, it'd be fun to be able to go into a little bit more depth about this stuff, just so we get a better handle on what is this stuff. Because I think the surface level is nice, but it doesn't really give a lot of grist to be able to really put your teeth into, yeah. Like the difference between part-time and full-time mm-hmm. jobs, as a simple example. When you saw this, you had mentioned housing sales or home sales also.
Home sales are off. And before we leave that, just one more thing on jobs. On the positive side, you know, we saw our unemployment go up, but our help wanted advertising rose also. And that's one of the indices they use to determine, you know, future jobs and so forth. On home sales, we saw a...
Would that include like Craigslist and that kind of stuff? I suppose it'd have to.
I have no idea where they get their information.
Versus like, you know, I mean, the old days, it used to be lines in the back pages of the local newspapers.
Yeah.
That'd be where you would go, and that would be all of it, you know, other than somebody hanging a sign out in their window.
So anyway, back to home sales now. Down 9.2% from where they were, but the median house price rose. So we're seeing fewer houses sell for the month, but their average price went up. It doesn't mean housing prices went up. It means the median went up, so people are buying more expensive homes.
Or the first time bubble may have worked through a little bit more?
It's very possible. I don't know why it is, but those are the numbers.
The monthly rent of about $1,100, is that figure one that you look at?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
Monthly rent, the average.
I have it.
Right around $1,100. Is that high, low? I mean, if we're talking living wages at $50,000, okay, well, that nibbles off 25%. Is that about where it ought to
be? One of the unfortunate things, or fortunate, if you own apartments and homes, is that with the recession, we saw rents rise because there was more demand for rentals as opposed to those people that were owning homes. So you had a shift from homeowners to renters, and so therefore more demand on rents, and rents went up. Hopefully, as we're seeing more first-time homebuyers come into the market, we might see a softening of rent rates. But I'm not optimistic, especially when we saw that housing dropped last month. So, and you would think July would be a good month.
Well, I would think once you and your brethren start pumping through a whole lot more real estate loans, the demand will soften and boom, down it comes as there's more construction going on.
And building permits are down 64%. Ouch.
And not from a, well, now it's interesting that the reference used is a huge spike month. September 2012? Rather than using June of 2012, you can do a June to June reference.
Let's see.
It might not be quite as severe.
I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong paragraph. I apologize.
Okay.
whoops.
Yeah. Not quite so bad, folks.
Yeah. But no,
well, we'll figure out what page we're supposed to be on when we come back.
Very good.
It's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. This afternoon, we're spending a little bit of time with the recently released Humboldt Economic Index. John, before the break, we were looking at, or thinking we were looking at, building permits.
Well, no, I gave you the right number. It is 64.9% contraction. It went from 11.9 to 4.2. And of course, you know, you're getting more, you do have more permits being filed early in the summer as opposed to later in the summer. But it would be nice to see more building taking place.
As you're looking at these various indexes, is there, you mentioned housing, it was one that you paid attention to. Gas prices. I think that gas prices is one of those sneaky ones. That might be a third level. Yeah, if gas is at $5 versus $3, well, how much does the average person spend on gas? Who knows? But let's say it's 50 gallons a month. Okay, so the difference between 3 and 5, quick math, is $100.
Right.
Okay, taken out of the economy, non-discretionary.
Right.
It's going to come from somewhere. Where is it coming from? And that's connecting the dots thing.
And there's a double whammy there, because not only when gas prices go up do you have less discretionary income because you're spending more of it on gasoline, but also the price of moving products here for you to purchase is more expensive, and so the price of goods and services goes up. So it's a double whammy, and this kind of breaks it down. You know, the average price in Eureka was, as of 7/26, so July 26, was 418. Northern California was 390, and all of California was $4.
So we're kind of in the ballpark, at least.
Yeah,
it's not like Chicago.
Yeah.
quick deviation off of this trail. Have you heard anything about straightening out of Richardson's Grove? I mean, you talked about gas prices. I've heard 7 to 9%. Is what it's costing us in addition to live here because of that truncation.
Yeah, as soon as Richardson's Grove gets improved to the STAA standards, our shipping costs will drop by that number you just gave, 7, 8, 9, 10%. Because not only can you bring more on each truck, but you're also not having to reload the trucks to bring them into the county.
So when you are envisioning the future, whenever this thing might get straightened, what do you envision? Do you think it's going to be the equivalent of having a 200-person mill opening up? Is it that kind of infusion that would come into the local economy? Do you think it's going to be hardly a noticeable ripple? How does that one play out for you?
I don't think our economy or county's positioned to really take any significant advantage of the fact that we can bring in STAA trucks. What we'll see is a reduction.
But if Safeway's bringing in bigger trucks.
What you're going to see is prices come down, and there'll be more discretionary income. I don't think it's a big boost. I don't think it's going to be something that all of a sudden, we're in nirvana. We're just catching up with the rest of the state, as far as our trucking costs.
It'd be nice to have that extra 5%, though, wouldn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Absolutely.
And multiply it or ripple through the system.
And that's assuming that those suppliers then lower their prices accordingly.
Well, you got to think somebody, it may not happen initially, but somebody's going to break.
Yeah.
Because there's always somebody at the lower end of the price scale. And then if their discrepancy is so large, it'll work through in about 3 days. all of a sudden, you know, everybody's tomatoes are right about at the same place again, but about a quarter less a pound.
Exactly.
You know, I would like to think, at least.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Retail sales in our area. We've got three big boxers coming in. In fact, I think TJ Maxx is opening this week. Okay. Or has opened this week. You got the sporting goods store. You've got the beauty place. All storefronts on the front of the Bayshore Mall. Seeing things like that, does that indicate leakage? Does that indicate untapped retail? What are these folks seeing in our area that others or the locals aren't?
Well, first of all, for it to be beneficial to the overall economy, you've got to be bringing somebody in who's going to capture sales that would either take place on the internet or people drive out of the county to make certain purchases. You know, we're all guilty of both of those in some cases, simply because you can't get certain products here.
Yeah, a lot of it's access to a product.
Yeah. Or for our case, you can't get certain sizes here.
Thanks for noticing, yes.
You know, when I look at new retailers coming in, are they going to bring in new sales, or are they simply diverting them from other retailers? And so, as you see a new store coming in, that's the question you want to ask yourself, you know, if you want to know if it's going to be beneficial for the economy as a whole.
Okay, so let's go one by one. TJ Maxx. Okay, we've had a number of medium clothing stores.
Well, I have to admit, I've never been in one.
Okay.
So, but I understand it's a discounter of some sort, clothing.
And a little bit of kind of like the some of the other discounted items. Okay. Not unique. I mean, we've got a number of other stores that kind of fit in that niche. Leakage? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's more of a split?
I think on that one, I think you're just going to be taking sales away from somebody else. I mean, that's just
gut sense.
Yeah, shooting from the hip.
Beauty supplies, another area that we're very unfamiliar with.
I've never bought a beauty supply. Can you tell?
Yeah. more choice. You know, certainly, there are a lot of out of market stores.
I have to plead ignorance on this one. I don't know. I'm assuming it's going to come from other retailers, but
probably, yeah, some of the departments, the department stores, maybe deeper selection, perhaps. Okay. Sporting goods. We've got the big box already, one of them. We've got a couple locals. Do they have everything that the big city has? No. Do we need it here? Probably not. But it's a pretty significant footprint that's there. Another split of the existing?
Probably. Might take some of the internet sale leakage out.
Do we have a good quantitative and qualitative study about internet leakage?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, that's
have you ever seen one?
No. I mean, I guess you'd have to look, you know, you'd have to talk to UPS. You know, could they give us numbers on, are more packages sent here than somewhere per capita than somewhere else? I mean, I have no idea how to measure that.
It would be interesting to find out, I think, you know, looking at some of that kind of area and be able to celebrate some of those that are new and perhaps go out and attract those who may not yet understand why they should be coming here. It would seem like that would be a real economic development assistance. Yeah, you know, the old phrase, if you don't know where the target is, it's hard to hit it.
Yeah. You know, if I was a retailer and I knew that, you know, there was $1 million in sales going on the internet for, you know, widgets, you know,
how about
proverbial widgets.
Larger than normal sized items.
You know, then I would know that, gee, there's a good market, because most people would rather pick it up, touch it, feel it, try it on before they buy it.
Get it today.
Exactly, as opposed to going online and shooting, you know, hoping that it arrives and it actually fits and, you know, all that stuff. So I think they're, that kind of information could be very valuable. Now, the NSA may have it.
National Securities Administration? National Sporting Goods?
Well, after the break, maybe Brian will catch on.
Okay, good. Looking forward to it. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:48, final segment of this afternoon with Mr. Dalby. John, the index overall, okay, so-so, exciting, not so exciting?
Well, as I read the index, it's bad news. You know, it's showing declines in some key categories. At the same time, you know, at the bank, we're, you know, I would say I'm feeling a tailwind for the first time in a long time. So it feels like the economy has gotten better. You know, we just posted our second quarter earnings, and we had record second quarter earnings. And this looks like it's turning out to be a great year. We were able to continue our dividend. So it's looking very, very positive from where we're sitting. But then I read the index, and I'm going, there's some things that need some improvement, need some help.
So as the overall looking towards the remainder of this calendar year, general impacts as we're starting to get a slight little sense about the impact of Obamacare, do you see that the businesses are going to try to be expanding their workforce, contracting their workforce, moving more and more to part-time that we're hearing in the media, sensing intrinsically? Is that the stuff that we're going to be seeing, or do you see that we might have turned a corner?
Well, it's interesting. I just talked to a gentleman who specializes in this stuff today, and he mentioned that there's a sigh of relief that it's been postponed, but that everybody's preparing for, you know, Obamacare kicking in, and so they're moving towards part-time and trying to find ways to avoid having to pay the benefit.
Thanks for coming by.
Always a pleasure to see you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.